Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Runners from all over the world have begun to arrive in South Africa ahead of Sunday's 96th edition of the Comrades Marathon. Run between the cities of Pietermaritzburg and Durban, the 89-kilometer route is laden with spectators on the side of the road from start to finish. And the prize pool of $220,000, shared equally between the men's and women's winners, makes it the richest race on the African continent. Defending men's champion Tete Dijana and former women's winner Herta Steyn are two of the favorites this year. Myron Nika has this preview for us from Durban.
That's the iconic Chariots of Fire. Vangelis's masterpiece brings the crowd to their feet as the winner of the Comrades Marathon heads towards the finish line. It's among the many traditions of this century-old race. The brainchild of World War I veteran Vic Clapham, the Comrades Marathon was first run in 1921 to commemorate South African soldiers killed during the war. A small group of 34 runners entered the race that year, paving the way for an event that has stood the test of time. This year, more than 17,000 runners will line up at the start in Pietermaritzburg to make their way towards the coast. The journey to the finish line in Durban is undulating, creating a unique challenge for both elite and amateur runners. Celebrated South African runner Sean Mickeljohn, who won the race back in 1995, counts it as one of the proudest moments in his career.
Being a Comrades winner is something that many top athletes dream of and only a few achieve. It was the proudest moment of my running career, and now I have a winner's blaze that I can wear with pride, even if it is only once or twice a year. And my name is now engraved on the winner's trophy, which is forever.
For more than 50 years, only white South Africans were allowed to run the race due to the apartheid laws in South Africa. Today, in a democratic country, the race attracts a melting pot of people. Over 2,400 runners from around the world will line up at this year's race. 173 athletes from the USA will join the field, while India, with 403 runners, is the leading nation outside of South Africa. This runner, who hails from India, says completing the Comrades Marathon is at the top of his road running ambitions.
It is a prestigious marathon and an oldest marathon, and it is in my bucket list. That's why I came here through India, and toughest marathon in the world. So I want to check my endurance. That's why I came here.
The race, which starts at 5:30 a.m., has cutoffs at various distances. The main cutoff at the finish is at 5:30 p.m. More than 85% of the field come home in the final hour of the race. Runners spend close to 12 hours on the road, pushing their physical and mental endurance limits. But as these athletes attest, despite the pain experienced, the incredible feeling of crossing the finish line makes them come back for more.
Now your character is what will push you to the finish line. So you need to be more of an strong person in terms of a character. You need to be very resilient as well, because I think after 60 kilometers, to be honest, your mental fitness kicks in and your physical fitness is already out of the window.
There's no better experience, my brother. If you haven't run the Comrades and you're a runner, you need to come here, because once the bug hits you, you'll never stop going.
When the massive field lines up outside the Pietermaritzburg City Hall, months and months of preparation will undergo what organizers have dubbed the ultimate human race. It will be boisterous. It will be festive. Then, silence, as South Africa's national anthem signals the start of proceedings. 100 years on, the race continues to embody the triumph of the human spirit. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron, and good luck to all the runners who will test their speed and endurance in the 89-kilometer Comrades Marathon. Samson Omale joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports highlights in Cairo, Egypt, where the CAF draws for the FIFA Under-17 and FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup were conducted at the CAF headquarters on Thursday. In the Under-17, the first round pits the Central African Republic against Mauritius in September. The winning team of this clash will play against Nigeria in the second round. The second round matches are expected to take place between the 2nd to the 4th of February, with a return fixture set for the 9th to the 11th of February 2024. In the Under-20, Equatorial Guinea will play Libya, while the Togolese ladies will take on Guinea-Bissau, with Mauritius facing off against Chad. The victors of this round will then move to the second round of the qualifiers. CAF head of competitions, Khalid Nassar, conducted the draws.
In this qualifiers, we have 35 engaged teams, and we will have to qualify two teams only to the World Cup. So in order to do that, we will have to play five rounds, okay? The first round will be composed of the last six ranked teams. So they will qualify three teams to the following round, who will join the other 29 teams to have, in order to have 32 teams in this round, and then 16 in the following one, 8, 4, and then the best two will qualify to the World Cup.
And now to the CAF Champions League, where Morocco's Wydad Athletic Club will host Egypt's Al Ahly in the return fixture of the CAF Champions League final this weekend. Wydad is carrying a 2-1 deficit from the first leg played in Cairo last weekend and will be hoping in the least for a 1-0 victory on home turf to turn the tie in their favour. A total number of 45,000 tickets were released for the match and they ran out in record time, a clear manifestation of just how massive the tie is. Coach Caleb Teofilos of Meads Palace Football Academy, Nigeria, has been following this season's CAF Champions League. He told the Sunny Side of Sport that a second leg fixture may end up in a draw, but thinks Al Ahly will eventually win the title.
With Wydad getting the most crucial away goal in the first leg, going to the second leg, they have the edge going into that match in Morocco. But Al Ahly have a better chance because they have better experience of knowing how to play at the top level. So I'm giving it to Al Ahly. They are holding it out for with a 1-1 draw. Al Ahly for the win in the CAF Champions League finals.
Staying with football news, the World Football Governing Body FIFA has rolled out cash prizes for players that will participate at the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup bill for Australia and New Zealand this July. FIFA guaranteed that each player registered in the squad by the qualifying countries will receive at least $30,000, with the finalists receiving as much as $270,000. The group stages will entertain eight different groups of four teams each, which provides all 32 squad a guaranteed sum of $30,000 per participating player. The 16 teams to qualify from each group into the knockout stages are guaranteed double the previous prize, with each player earning $60,000 in the round of 16. And out to South Africa, where Bafana Bafana coach Hugo Broos has unveiled the final list of players he will send out to represent South Africa in the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against World Cup semi-finalist Morocco this month. Broos's Chargers, who have already achieved qualification for the AFCON finals in Ivory Coast next year, take on the Atlas Lions next week Saturday at the FNB Stadium. The Belgian coach announced a preliminary 34-member Bafana Bafana squad last month and has now trimmed the list to his final 23 players.
This is a big game. If you do a good performance, if the team does a good performance, if you have a positive a result, it's also good for you as a player. So you have to know that those games are seen by many people because it's an interesting game. It's interesting to see the guys of Morocco, but also it has to be enough as a motivation for a player.
Staying with the AFCON qualifying, Ugandan Cranes head coach Milutin Sredojevic has named the final Ugandan Cranes squad that will face Algeria in the AFCON qualifiers in Cameroon. 19 players have been dropped of the initial 42 that were initially summoned. The Cranes will play a friendly game on Wednesday against the Democratic Republic of Congo before facing Algeria on the 18th of June.
From 42 players summoned, 6 of them have been immediately injured. 13 we need to put on standby behind in order to select 23 the best players, 3 goalkeepers and 20 field players that will represent us in the match against Algeria. This match in front of us is not about bright future, it's about bright present. Ugandans are anticipant, Ugandans expect from us, and we want to stretch over all human and sport limits in order to make Ugandans happy.
Elsewhere in Namibia, the Brave Warriors fitness coach and trainer Garen Smith is optimistic about the squad's level of fitness ahead of their AFCON qualifier match against Burundi.
So far, so good. I think this week our focus is just basically to build a bit of a foundation. I know most of the local guys have been resting for about 2 weeks. So just building a bit on their fitness. We did actually do a bit of fitness tests yesterday. So we had 2 sessions. So we had a morning session and then a PM session in the afternoon. Just testing their fitness levels a bit. There's all rest of the week, again, until maybe about Thursday, Friday, is again just working on a bit of endurance, a bit of speed work, just getting that foundation before we go into the weekend. And then the focus will be the Burundi game, which is on the 20th.
In tennis, all is now set for the Billie Jean King Cup Africa Group 3 tournament, which begins on the 12th of June in Nairobi, Kenya. The tournament will consist of 2 groups of 6, with the pool matches being played in a round-robin format form. Each tie will consist of 2 singles and a double. The 12 teams in contention are Morocco, Tunisia, Nigeria, Ghana, Burundi, Uganda, Seychelles, Kenya, Botswana, Mauritius, Namibia, and Zimbabwe. Team Kenya captain Frances Rogoi is relishing her opportunity to lead her compatriots to the Billie Jean King Cup title.
Well, I think my fighting spirit is something that I've had all throughout my tennis career, and I'm definitely going to bring it out. I'm going to try my best to, I'm just going to give my best out there. I'm not going to let any point go, and I'll leave the results to take care of them.
In badminton, 8 countries will take part in a badminton tournament at the African Beach Games scheduled for June 23rd to the 30th in Hammamet, Tunisia. The countries that have already confirmed their participation are Algeria, South Africa, Equatorial Guinea, Mauritius, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Benin, and Tunisia. The badminton tournament will be a qualifier for the World Beach Games scheduled for the same year. In motorsports, the 7th leg of the 2023 World Rally Championships, the Safari Rally, will take place later this month in Naivasha, Kenya, from June 22nd to the 25th. The rally has attracted over 34 drivers, including 3 factory teams from M Sport, Ford, Toyota Gazoo Racing, and Hyundai. However, all eyes will be on the sleek Subaru N10 being steered by an all-female Kenyan crew led by Kenyan journalist Pauline Shehu and her navigator Lynette Ayuku. Ayuku says their desire as an all-female team is to inspire other women to take to motorsports.
For years, it's been either me and Tuta who you'll find are the only women in the sport. So to be able to get more women coming in and to be able to support each other, that's the biggest thing for me, to inspire more women to take part. For me, that's a huge deal.
That's Lynette Ayuku, the navigator for an all-female crew that will compete in the Safari Rally in Kenya later this month. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy package of African sports news. In motorsports terms, Samson's report was firing on all cylinders.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Nigeria and Villarreal winger Samuel Chukwueze has been named the best African player during Spain's 2022-2023 La Liga season. Chukwueze ended the season with 13 goals and 11 assists across all competitions. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the man who coached Chukwueze on Nigeria's national under-17 boys team, Emmanuel Amunike.
First of all, I'm happy for Chukwueze, you know, what he has been able to achieve this season. And apart from achieving, you know, he has been a key player in his team. He has helped his team, you know. He has contributed immensely in their game. And I think it is, you know, it is a kind of confidence boosting for him to be able to establish himself in the Spanish, you know, league, and even being, you know, recognized being the best African player for this season. I think it's something, you know, it's something great for him, and I'm happy for him, and I wish him the very best of luck, and I hope, you know, next season he continue to inspire and continue to grow and continue to develop as a player.
How did you discover Samuel Chukwueze?
Well, Chukwueze was discovered just like same way Osimhen was discovered, you know. Although I have 2 years in 2013, I was privileged to have seen Chukwueze, you know, and I invited him to the 2013 under-17 team together with Kelechi Nwakali, knowing the quality that he possessed. But unfortunately, he was not able to make it in that team. But bearing it in mind and that I have seen him play, so I was able, you know, to integrate him into the team of 2015 together with Osimhen, Chukwueze, and Nwakali. It's a good thing that when you see these young players that 2015, you train them and today they are top players playing in top clubs. I think it's a good thing and it's something amazing. And like I have always, you know, said, I always wish them the best and I hope they continue to do well in their various clubs and continue to inspire the next generations that are coming behind them.
Coach, what's your rating of Samuel Chukwueze and Victor Osimhen, another player you trained?
Well, my rating for both Chukwueze and Osimhen is for them to continue to grow. You know, they have done fantastically very well in this season. They have been able, you know, to distinguish themselves in their various clubs. Osimhen was the top scorer in Italy, and Chukwueze, you know, was able to also establish himself. So there is no number that can really quantify about their rating. The important thing is that these are players that are, you know, that are young and they've been able, you know, to take the best opportunity that was presented to them, and from there they've been able to, you know, develop and grow into the game and being recognized today as one of the best players in the world. So I wish them all the best, and like I said earlier, I hope they continue to do well in their various clubs.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Spain.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. in European club football. The UEFA Champions Festival kicked off in Istanbul on Thursday, the same day both Manchester City and Inter Milan touched down in Turkey ahead of Saturday's UEFA Champions League final. VOA's Gwen Ooten has a preview as the two teams get ready to compete for European club football's biggest prize. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This year's Champions League final coincides with the 100th anniversary of the Republic of Turkey and marks the 68th final where a European champion will be crowned. On Thursday, the coveted trophy that Manchester City and Inter Milan are set to compete for was unveiled at the UEFA Champions Festival in Istanbul's Trophy Park. And fans who were gathered there to catch a glimpse of the famous trophy said they're ready to witness an unforgettable final match.
Actually, this is a magnificent day in history of Istanbul that the final Champions League is going to happen in this beautiful city. And we will have a great match with like great player of like Manchester City, especially this semester. They are doing very great.
Yeah, we try to get some tickets, but I don't know that it's possible, but we tried.
It's a beautiful stadium at Atatürk. I want to watch, I have a ticket and I watch the final Champions League enter and against Manchester City. I hope enjoy and I want to hope a good final.
The four-day festival was opened by the president of the Turkish Football Federation and Champions League final ambassador and former Turkish footballer Hamit Altıntop, who believes the two sides competing for the title are evenly matched.
I think Man City looks on the paper as a favorite, but you don't know. I think both teams in a good shape, and Inter has a good defense, and I think it's 50-50, and maybe the performance of Kevin De Bruyne and İlkay Gündoğan by the side from Manchester City and the other side, the defense performance and the performance from Lautaro Martinez can make the difference.
Manchester City enters Saturday's Champions League showpiece poised to complete a treble, having already achieved a Premier League and FA Cup double. Manager Pep Guardiola has led Man City to 5 Premier League titles in 6 seasons, but he has yet to lift the elusive Champions League trophy for the club. And after last month's Premier League victory, Guardiola said he's one step closer to claiming the ultimate prize.
Because the players knows what we have ahead of us. Every hack we give us to us, everyone say one more to come, one more to go, one more to go. So they feel it that we are in a position like probably we'll never be again. And after we have three, four training sessions, especially three to prepare Inter Milan. I have 2 days to watch it because we were focusing United and yeah, go there to try. Everybody knows it. So we have done incredible seasons, 5 Premier Leagues, 2 FA Cups, Carabao. But we have to win the Champions League to be recognized. A team like deserves to be recognized. So we have to admit it. Without the Champions League, have been amazing, have fun, but yeah, we'll miss it. So we have to take a responsibility, feel it, that we have to do it.
Opponents Inter Milan have won the Champions League title 3 times. The last time was in 2010 when they dominated Bayern Munich in a 2-0 victory and became the first Italian club in history to complete the treble. Current Inter Milan manager Simone Inzaghi has previously won the Champions League title twice with Juventus and AC Milan, and he's on the verge of completing a momentous season in charge of Inter. This season, Inzaghi led his side to the Coppa Italia title, and Inter are now in their first Champions League final in over a decade. Pep Guardiola has also won two Champions League titles, both with Barcelona, but he has yet to win Europe's elite club competition with Man City. He came close in 2021, but lost to Chelsea in the final. And despite entering Saturday's match as the favorites, Guardiola says he'll do everything he can for history to not repeat itself.
I think about what you have to do to beat Inter. So I spoke with the players many times. Forget about us who run outside. The people talk about travels or whether they want to allow us to win the travels or forever. Forget about it. Focus what they have to do to beat them, what they are as a team, what they have to improve, what they have to do, what will be the spaces, the threats they have, and control that. You know that you have to refocus on that. Inter will be the same. So, and after we'll have time to analyze if it was good or bad or whatever. So the only way do we have chance to win the Champions League like we have done is focus in what you have to do in the game. Don't think in the consequences, you win or lose. And as much as possible, we're going to do it.
The stage is set for the grand finale. The championship match will be played in Istanbul's Atatürk Olympic Stadium, the site of the 2005 UEFA Champions League final and regarded as one of the most beautiful stadiums in the world. Who will lift the trophy, Manchester City or Inter Milan? It will all be decided in a matter of hours on Saturday, June 10th. Enjoy the match, Sonny, and have a good weekend. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-Minute VOA Newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The June 9th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. Wishing all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners a very nice weekend. And I hope it's a sporty weekend, too. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.